Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Botting in Washington, D.C.
He was very resolute in his commitment to continue to protect the integrity of our constitution and our democracy, and shows that those who seek to undermine us will fail.
Sierra Leone's President Julius Maada Bio addresses the nation following last week's army barracks attack. We'll have a reaction.
He's one of those persons who started criticizing the current government from day one. So, for us in government, we take him as a critic, not as a voice of reason, nothing.
Zambia's information minister says the rise in sharp criticism against President Hakainde Hichilema demonstrates an increase in the democratic space.
Congolese are very proud to be able to fund their own elections, and they are willing to go and appoint the people they have as leaders in different positions.
And the DRC government expresses regret over the decision by the European Union not to deploy poll observers to monitor the coming elections. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators in Melbourne who forced an Israeli delegation of relatives of Israelis killed or abducted by Hamas to seek shelter in a police station are facing condemnation in Australia. The demonstrators stormed the lobby of the delegation's hotel, waving banners and placing two bloody dolls on the ground. For VOA, Phil Messer reports from Sydney, Australia.
A group of Israelis whose relatives were kidnapped by Hamas during the militant group's October 7 attacks was followed to their hotel from a Wednesday meeting with members of the public and local politicians at a local college by about 20 pro-Palestinian protesters. Social media images and video show the protesters shouting pro-Palestinian slogans and holding banners, including one that says "Stop arming Israel, free Palestine." The police were eventually called and moved the protesters from the hotel. The Israelis are in Australia to meet with politicians and others as part of a global campaign to publicise the plight of Hamas hostages in Gaza. The Israelis were reportedly ushered to a police station by private security guards. The Israeli embassy in Canberra later said in a statement that the delegation was made to feel unsafe by the protest. Jacinta Allen, the Victoria State Premier, told local media that the behaviour of the protesters was appalling.
People who are suffering grief and loss as a consequence of the awful conflict that's going on in the Middle East deserve our respect and care and support.
In Canberra, the Conservative opposition leader Peter Dutton told Parliament the pro-Palestinian protest was an act of depravity. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese told lawmakers Thursday that the demonstrators' actions were beyond contempt.
This does nothing to advance the cause of the Palestinian people. It does nothing to advance justice for Palestinians or peace in the region.
Earlier this week, relatives and friends of some of Hamas's hostages held a news conference at Parliament House in Canberra to call for their immediate release. Australia has repeatedly affirmed its belief in Israel's right to defend itself and respond to the Hamas attacks when about 1,200 people were killed and 240 others were kidnapped. The government has also urged Israel to follow the rules of war and prevent civilian deaths. There have been dozens of protests by pro-Palestinian supporters across Australia in recent weeks, as well as pro-Israel rallies. Officials have expressed concern over a rise of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia in Australia since the conflict erupted. In October, two government ministers said Gaza civilians were being subjected to collective punishment for Hamas's barbarism by Israel. The two ministers, Industry Minister Ed Husic and Early Childhood Education Minister Anne Ali, are the only Muslims in Australia's federal cabinet. Phil Mercer, VOA News, Sydney.
Sierra Leone President Julius Maada Bio says the administration's response to last week's attempt to destabilize the country will be measured, determined and guided by their respect for the rule of law. In an address to the nation Saturday evening local time, the president says ongoing investigations will follow evidence, adding that those responsible will be held accountable irrespective of their societal status. But critics say arrests so far appear to be focused on targeting people from the north, as well as leading members of the main opposition. The government denies the accusation. The address follows the November 26 attack on an army barracks and the release of prisoners, a move the administration described as a coup attempt. Information and Civic Education Minister Chenoba tells me that the president also focused on national unity, as well as the curfew remains in place until those responsible for the attacks are brought to justice.
Well, His Excellency's speech continued in the same thing. He reiterated the call for national unity and his strong, uncompromising commitments to democracy and the rule of law. He provided updates and a very definitive proclamation to the people of the country that based on what we know and the investigations, that this indeed the events of November 26 were an effort to overthrow a democratically elected government. But he was very resolute in his commitment to continue to protect the integrity of our constitution and our democracy, and assured that those who seek to undermine us will fail. He then reaffirmed that in the pursuit of justice, in the pursuit of defense of our democracy, he will be guided as always only by the rule of law.
I understand the curfew has been extended indefinitely. Why so? Because some people are saying this will inconvenience a lot of Sierra Leoneans across the country.
When the curfew was put in effect, it was announced that it would be from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. until further notice. No such further notice has occurred yet, and so the curfew remains in effect. But on the question of inconveniencing people, I can assure all that it is not the intention of the government to have a curfew or to inconvenience anyone. The government as well is inconvenienced by a curfew, but the necessity of it will supersede any other consideration. And in this case, we've been very clear. The curfew was imposed so that we'll continue to isolate, find, and bring to justice those who broke into our armory, stole weapons, and sought to illegally usurp the powers of our democracy. That's the essence of the curfew. Once we are confident that we have been able to apprehend the majority of them, especially the ringleaders, and we are confident that the risks that they posed to us, they managed sufficiently, then there will be reconsideration of the curfew.
Minister Chenoba, some critics of the government say that the government is using this to go after its main opponents from the main opposition, APC, and that several leaders have been arrested. They said this is tribal, just to weaken the opposition. How do you respond to that?
We had a political disagreement following that election. We embarked on a very peaceful process to resolve those differences, which we respect and have continued to uphold. The opposition is now back in government, and they have themselves officially condemned the actions of last week, and we're working together where we can to identify the folks who are responsible for sowing this chaos and trying to overthrow a democratic elected president and government. We're very clear, as the president has said, that there's no other motivation behind any of these investigations. This is a government that seeks to only follow what the rule of law is. But we can also not discriminate, as His Excellency said yesterday. The investigation has to be guided only by the rule of law and where it is. And that's the only thing we'll continue to do. And I think at the end of the day as well, the facts will play themselves out. You know, if somebody's arrested, they will be interrogated and they will be brought to court and there will be evidence and the evidence will play themselves out. I think as I've sought to do from the beginning of this is to avoid speculation, is to not draw myself into the innuendos, but to focus on what the facts are and to communicate that very clearly to the public and to the international friends we have.
Chenoba is Sierra Leone's Information and Civic Education Minister. He spoke with me from the capital, Freetown.
We're bringing women's voices to the conversation on things that matter to hearts and minds of women.
We are here at Kalerwe Market, Uganda, Kampala. where in this whole market, women are crying out for their situations to change.
With strong opinions and expertise on things that impact and change their lives.
Here in Kinshasa, campaigns to raise awareness against the spread of coronavirus are common, but getting that information to people who have no access to water, electricity, or money can be a challenge.
From right here in the nation's capital to on the ground from all over the African continent.
I think a big thing for me is just being able to say that when these protests are happening, does it turn around into policy?
We hear your voices. Women's voices, our voices, and add your voice to the conversation. Each week, right here on The Voice of America, check your local TV listings.
In The Gambia, an executive member of the Opposition Alliance for Patriotic Reorientation and Construction, or APRC, says the country's laws prevent former President Yahya Jammeh from leading the party. Dudu Ja, who is the deputy spokesperson and director of the media for the APRC, says the executives are seeking reconciliation to unite the party. His remarks come after the party split into factions, with a majority of the APRC pledging their allegiance and loyalty to the former president, who is the founder of the party. This, as the former president said in a leaked audio, that he will not cede control of the party he led during his 22-year rule. For reaction to the former president's announcement, I reached Dudu Ja.
We respect him as being the former head of state of this country. But as far as we know, APRC is in the hands of the current executive under the leadership of the Speaker of the National Assembly of the Gambia, that is Honorable Fabakary Tombongjata. This country has law. Nobody can sit outside and you claim to be a leader of a party or you own a political party. Our electoral laws does not specify that. So he is entitled to his opinion. He is one of the pioneers of this party and he led this party for over two decades. That's we really recognize. But as we speak of today, the list of the executive members that are in charge of the APRC, his name is not in that list. So legally, he cannot be the head of APRC.
Well, he said he will not cede control of the party. And he also announced that henceforth, the party will have a council of elders and chairmen who will supervise the National Executive Committee and will be the sole representative of him. This is a clash with what you are saying.
Well, he was addressing the No to Alliance movement. That is a breakaway group of the APRC who says they're still loyal to him. He's the party leader. He's the supreme leader. They only answer to him. He's talking to them, but not APRC as a party. That's why I am bringing it to you that there is a list at the Independent Electoral Commission. They are in charge of political parties and to regulate electoral matters. So as far as we're concerned, his name is not on that list. He cannot claim ownership of the APRC party or to be the leader of the APRC party. When it comes to that breakaway group, they contested in the local government election, even the National Assembly. But they put up their candidates as independent candidates, not APRC candidates.
But Dudu Ja, some of his supporters are blaming you and the new executives for endorsing and working with his main rival, current president Adama Barrow, for which reason the party disintegrated. So you are at fault, they say. Your reaction to that?
We as a party, APRC, we see to it that there is a need for us to work with the current president. And he welcomed us with open arms, asking us to support him. And that is what we did. And our efforts were well recognized by all those who participated in that election. Even the opposition parties, they could all attest to the stance of APRC, what we did to elect His Excellency President Adama Barrow. So as far as we're concerned, we are politicians. We have a political party. We can go in alliance with any political party, the president or the opposition himself.
But there are reports that a large chunk of the party, calling itself the APRC also, members are loyal to Jammeh and currently holds 5 National Assembly seats.
Well, we are not working with them currently, not only members of the APRC, but Gambians. A lot of Gambians are still loyal to Jammeh because people, lest we forget, he has ruled this country for over two decades. 22 years is not like 22 months. It's been a very long time. And there are people who still support him and they're still loyal to him. Working with the No to Alliance, for them, as far as they're concerned, They said they don't want to do with any alliance with this president, that is the sitting president, His Excellency Adama Barrow. And we cannot force them into that. What we're pushing for is how to reconcile the party back.
If they don't want to work with President Adama Barrow, yet are claiming to be members of the party, how do you intend to reconcile? Because they are accusing you of only seeking or playing politics of the belly and not necessarily on ideological grounds. Your response to that?
Well, people are entitled to their opinions. As I speak to you, I'm a senior executive member of the APRC, being the deputy spokesperson, and I also double as the director of media. Up to date, government has not given me any appointment. Barrow has not appointed me, either his government. It does not mean that we're there for position. We have our political party. We're nurturing it and building it. Reconciliation is a process, and every political party that exists in this country, as we know per our laws, the more numbers you have, the greater or stronger your political party could be, because our own laws is not like 50 plus one, but whoever has simple majority, you become the winner. So it is to our interest to reconcile and mobilize more people to join our party.
Dudu Jah is an executive member of the Opposition Alliance for Patriotic Reorientation and Construction, or APRC. He spoke with me from the Gambian capital, Banjul. Zambia's information minister says the rise in sharp criticism against President Hakainde Hichilema and his government demonstrate that democratic space has increased. Cornelius Mwitwa, who is also the chief government spokesperson, reject opposition claims that they are being targeted with arrest in an effort to intimidate, harass and weaken critics ahead of the next general election. His remarks come after Zambian lecturer Shishuwa Shishuwa asked voters to kick out the president if he fails to change course. In an opinion piece which has since gone viral on social media, the senior lecturer at Stellenbosch University in South Africa says the president has become a clear and present danger to the country. For reaction, I reach Information Minister and Chief Government Spokesperson Cornelius Mwitwa.
Well, firstly, this is one of the clear and living testimony that in Zambia, the democratic space is widening. Citizens can speak their minds, say at liberty, they are free. Now, it has to be understood that one person's voice is not and may not be representative of the majority. Dr. Shua is one of those persons who started criticizing the current government from day one. So for us in government, we take him as a critic, not as a voice of reason. Nothing. He's nowhere near that. And I'm not saying this with impunity. I'm saying this with reality, knowing what we went through as a party to uproot a dictatorial regime and install rule of law, install fundamental freedoms, respect for upholding and promotion and defending of human rights, which is currently prevalent in Zambia.
What do you say to opposition supporters who are saying that the recent arrests of some of their leaders and prosecution of their leaders is part of the effort to clamp down the opposition to ensure that the president does not have a strong opposition leading up to the next general election?
There is no single leader of the opposition who has recently been arrested. The only people who have been called to by the law enforcing agencies are people like Sean Tembo, who by definition can be said to be an opposition leader, but he's just a one-man show. The laws of the land do not allow, you know, a certain vulgarity of language. There must be civility in the use of language, even if it is politics. But if you are going to be insulting the president, you are going to be misinforming the nation, publishing falsehoods, the law provides that people who transgress in such a manner should be held accountable. Unfortunately, in this country, there seems to be an eminent growing narrative that politicians are immune and vaccinated against the vagaries of the law.
President Hichilema has said that he is committed to fighting corruption in Zambia. Some people are suggesting that he made commitment during the campaign that he would declare his assets and ensure that he sets the precedent for the fight against corruption. Now, Madam Kateka is being quoted by a newspaper in Zambia that, quote, they are looting an already empty treasury, and the fight against corruption appears to be wobbly because of the refusal, they suggest, of President Hichilema and Vice President to declare their assets. How do you respond
first
to that?
First of all, this is a government of laws and not a government of rights. There is no law in this country compelling the president to be declaring his assets and liabilities together with the vice president annually. If the president therefore went ahead to be doing that outside the law, that is lawlessness. Today, that might look to be a good thing because that is what people want. But if it is not assisted by law, it is not provided at law, the president will do it. And with that, tomorrow he will again do something which people will say, no, this is good. What if he does something outside the law which is bad? At what point do you begin to say, no, don't do this, if you are encouraging a president to do lawless things?
Mr. Mwichwa, what do you say to an ally or a former ally of the UPND, the ruling party, Madam Nawaki, who said that the president has spent all the money flying like a butterfly, because he said the president, when he was an opposition leader, criticized the former president and former president of traveling too much instead of staying home to work for the people, and that he has gone back on his word and is flying.
First of all, Madam Nawaki is not a former ally of the UPND. Thanks for her calling our president that he's flying around like a butterfly. At least a butterfly is a lovely thing. It will fly from one flower to another, meaning the president is doing the right things. Wherever the president goes, he goes on only important missions to go and sell a good image of the country, to go and negotiate transactions that are beneficial to Zambia, that are beneficial to Africa, that are beneficial to humanity on this planet, and only those that are so important. And when you look at what he goes to do and the revenue that is supposed to come into the country in terms of investments, in terms of donor support, there is every reason to justify those trips. It is unlike in the past when a president would travel, there would be no reciprocal benefit. What we opposed in the past was not a travel. It was a cost that was associated with travel that would not be recuperated by way of investment and donor funding pledges that would come alongside those visitations. That is a clear, straightforward issue.
Cornelius Mwitwa is Zambia's information minister and chief government spokesperson. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. The DRC government has expressed regret over the decision by the European Union not to deploy poll observers to monitor the coming December 20 general election. It, however, says it is committed to ensuring the elections are credible. It comes after the EU announced it's not able to deploy observers across the DRC due to security concerns. The decision comes as the presidential candidates, including incumbent President Felix Tshisekedi, campaign ahead of the polls. For the latest development and analysis, I reach Al Kitenge. He is an independent political analyst in the Congolese capital, Kinshasa.
The campaign is showing that people have got money, they can spend, and it's a serious party, except some exceptions. There was a death in Kindu and some small incident, but globally, things are going very, very well.
Are Congolese excited about going to the polls to elect a new president and representatives?
Congolese are very proud to be able to fund their own elections, and they are willing to go and appoint the people they have as leaders in different positions. Remember, this is going to be the first time that local elections are organized. So everyone is excited. We have more than 23,000 people for 500 seats in parliament. And so it shows that there is a serious commitment of people going to the elections.
Some people have expressed concern about the credibility of the elections, and that the Electoral Commission has even yet to print the voter list or the voter register that will be used for the election. So how confident are Congolese that the elections that they will go to choose their own representatives or leaders will be transparent and credible?
The election body is giving all the elements on the table, showing the people that they're doing the good job. They are showing that they are very transparent. They are responding to all the questions. But, you know, this is politics everywhere in the world.
when people are in opposition, they will try and make it hard for the people who are leading. And today, all the Congolese are very proud of this head of election body, and people see what is going on, and then they report, they communicate. And I think even Catholic Church that was criticizing has come back to the situation and says that things are going very well, said Abbe Chole, sorry, Monsignor Chole, who is the spokesman of the Catholic Church.
Four presidential candidates, including Martin Fayulu and Dr. Mukwege, have gone to the Constitutional Court to force the Electoral Commission to print out or show the voter list that will be used. You don't think their concerns are legitimate? Why?
I think Dr. Mukwege is more concerned about his partner, Moise Katumbi, not being able to respect the commitment that went in South Africa to discuss the possibility to have one candidate. And Dr. Mukwege was publicly saying yesterday that the way Moise Katumbi is behaving is not acceptable at all, and it's not a mark of integrity, and he's absolutely concerned about it. The electoral list will absolutely be displayed, said the head of the election body. And, the opposition's members can still ask anything more than what is planned. When it's done, when it's doable, the election body will do it.
The European Union has cancelled its election observation mission, saying it will not be able to deploy people across the country for security reasons. Do you think that security issues that the DRC is facing will have any effect on the elections?
We all know that part of our country is not very secured, and the body of election has decided not to organize the election in that specific part of the country. It's less than 2% of the territory. And this will not have a serious effect on the presidential election.
Al Kitenge is an independent political analyst. He spoke with me from the Congolese capital, Kinshasa.
Music time in Africa. Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in. Feast your ears and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Friday at 0900 and Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.
In Malawi, a leading member of the main opposition Democratic Progressive Party, or DPP, is denying reports that leadership troubles are harming the image of the group. Parliamentarian Shadrick Namalumba also says the party plans to soon organize its convention to choose new executives to lead it into the next election. His remarks follow recent reports of infighting among leaders of the party, which led to a court case. Analysts say the infighting appears to be weakening the DPP and distracting the party from acting as an effective check on the government. But parliamentarian Shadrick Namalumba tells me that the party remains strong in spite of its challenges.
Now, if we're going to say that because of some individuals trying to get to the top position and that they lead the party to get us into 2025 general elections and to lead would be a reason why people not vote for us, I would choose to differ because in any case, a party like ours, which is democratic, surely, and also a party which is about to form government, there is stiff competition. And we see stiff competition in this regard. And when there is that stiff competition, should not be, should not be interpreted that this is bad. Sometimes it is good. It's just that these few individuals went to court. We would have loved that they should not have gone to court. We would have loved that they should have let the processes proceed.
Shadrack, talking about problems, there are major concerns,
yes,
that the internal problems of the DPP is actually limiting the efforts of the DPP to act as a balance to the Tonse Alliance in government to provide alternative to solutions that will improve the lives of Malawians. So how do you address this major concern by Malawians?
You see what? People don't vote for a party to be in opposition. They vote for a party to be in government. And Malawian in 2020 decided that they should try Malay Congress Party into government. Now, if Malay Congress Party is fairy, and if President Chakwera is fairy, I think that fairy should not be attributed to an opposition party. An opposition party does not run government. And also to say that because we have had these leadership wrangles within us, we have failed to actually provide checks and balances. That would be wrong. Oftentimes, at many times, the party has organized conferences, has produced statements, or advising the government on policy issues, on how they can handle the economy, how they can handle the security issues of this country, how they can actually boost the economy.
But why are you blaming the Tonsil Alliance or the government for the so-called problems that the DPP is facing? Because you have been quoted in Malawi newspapers as calling on Mr. Musonde to go back to where he came from, and that he is a plant of the ruling party. Why do you blame somebody else when you are having your own internal challenges?
Okay, thank you very much for that question. You see what? You, a party like ours, just like any other party, members associate because they believe in a common value. Now, if you have one of you who goes out and presents himself or herself differently from the majority of the people that make up that party, then you wonder, who is this person, number one? What is his motive, number two? And who behind him is responsible for all this behavior? So in the case of the person that you have mentioned, he went out at a press conference and he began ridiculing his own party, praising the party which is in government. In opposition, and this is number one rule, and I read it very quickly, and I came from corporate life. You do not praise the government if you are coming from the opposition. What you do is you provide them the checks and balance. Yes, you have done ABCD, but you could have...
So even if the government is doing what the DPP would have done in government, any member of your party should not praise the efforts of the government to improve the lives of Malawians?
The question is always, how well have they done? How much resources have they used to get to that deliverable? What were the processes? Were the processes legitimate to get to that deliverable? So it is not just enough when somebody has delivered that you should begin to praise that person because they have delivered.
Shadrack Namalomba is a parliamentarian from the main opposition Democratic Progressive Party, or DPP. He spoke with me from the Malawian capital, Lilongwe. In Tanzania, Human Rights Watch is calling the McEnroe brothers, two American tennis greats, to use their influence to urge the government to ensure the respect of human rights. It comes as John and Patrick McEnroe plan to host a tennis safari tour in the Ngorongoro Conservation Area. The Maasai pastoralists are protesting against their relocation from the area to a place about 600 kilometers away. The safari event, named the Epic Tanzania Tour, is organized by Insider Expeditions and the Tanzanian government. But human rights defenders say the tennis tour risks whitewashing the forced evictions of the Maasai people, an accusation supporters of the government reject. For more about the concerns, I reach Oriem Nyeko. He is a researcher in the Africa Division of Human Rights Watch.
The problem is that for several years, the Tanzanian government has been actively displacing the Maasai people who live in the Ngorongoro Conservation Area, basically to make way for more tourism to take place in the area. And we feel that this tour, which is known as the Epic Tanzania Tour, is basically allowing for the people of the Ngorongoro Conservation Area to be exploited for the benefit of tourism. And it's very problematic that two public figures like John and Patrick McEnroe are participating in it.
Human Rights Watch is calling on these two tennis greats to use their influence to bring to attention what many call the forced eviction of the Maasai people. But the government, on the other hand, has said that it's trying to move them from that area in order to create opportunities for them as well as other Tanzanians. to improve their living conditions. Why isn't this a good thing?
Well, the problems are twofold. The government hasn't actually consulted meaningfully with the community living there. And actually, with both communities, those living in the NCA and those living in the area that the government wants to take them to. They basically decided this on their own and imposed it on these communities without asking them. And as a result, this move has been very problematic, especially for the people who are going to the new area. There's been clashes with the new communities. The type of housing that the government is providing really isn't consistent with the lifestyle of Maasai people and their culture. And it has really created more conflict than solutions. The second issue is the fact that in moving people to this new area, the government is essentially coercing the community to do it, because what they've done is removed public services.
Human Rights Watch is saying that the Tanzania tour risked whitewashing the Maasai forced evictions. Why do you think this is so?
So when you read about the tour and the itinerary, they say they are going to bring these tourists to the Ngorongoro Conservation Area to interact with Maasai people, to visit a cultural village, learn about their culture. They're also going to put up a tennis court and do tennis lessons for Maasai children, essentially making it seem like what is going on, which is the forced eviction of Maasai people from there, isn't happening, and that the people there are completely fine with what's going on. We know that's not true. Maasai people from Ngorongoro have been protesting for years now about the actions the government has been taking. And so the sense is that they're using sports, in this case tennis, and these famous sports stars, as a way of whitewashing, making it seem as if what's going on isn't as terrible as it really is. It really is sports washing, actually.
Such concerns, others will say, inhibits government efforts to bring in more tourists to the country that will bring in the foreign exchange that the country will need to boost its economy.
Nothing wrong with tourism. Tourism, as you mentioned, has a number of benefits for countries, especially developing countries like Tanzania. The problem is the way in which the tourism is being conducted, being done at the expense of people who are from the country that is being promoted. In this case, basically what the government is doing is moving people out of this area so that tourists can come in. And these are people who have lived in this area for generations at this point. They are familiar with the area. It aligns with their culture and their practices, and they don't want to move, ultimately. And I think that the government of Tanzania, or any government really, should prioritize the interests of its nationals before it starts thinking around attracting tourists.
Oriem Nyeko is a researcher in the Africa Division of Human Rights Watch. He spoke with me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. This is The Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, and music from our African collection. But first, now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospects in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's One Man's Point of View with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. Dr. Henry Kissinger, a man who served as National Security Advisor and Secretary of State of the United States, passed away last Wednesday at age 100. Dr. Kissinger was an effective teacher and a consummate diplomatist. Although he practiced his art for a short period both under Henry Kissinger and Ford's administration. Henry Kissinger is an intellectual giant. He has the qualities of earlier German research method. Thorough, thorough, thorough. His book, The World Restored, was his dissertation at Harvard that was converted to a book. You may have heard me say in the past that that book should be a primer for anyone trying to study diplomacy. And it's also necessary to note that that book, which in a sense looks through the Napoleonic Wars in Europe and Napoleon's military and diplomatic exploits, came out with two important lessons which are very relevant today. Dr. Kissinger said that the problem for Napoleon was his overreach, both in his way he conducted his campaign and his diplomacy. And for that, he came out with two sound messages in the book. He noted that any state that insists on absolute security for itself condemns all other states to absolute insecurity, something which causes instability and may lead to revolution. He also noted in that book that the community of nations, they come to the conclusion that they must rally behind themselves and pursue such a state. And that, in the judgment of Dr. Kissinger, is why Napoleon met his Waterloo. And to add insult to injury, the conference, the Congress of Vienna in 1815, which was called to restore the disorder at the place during the Napoleonic years, did not invite France to fully participate in that Congress. And now that Dr. Kissinger has passed away, it may be time to change a misconception about the way he conducted his diplomacy. For those correspondents who were in the plane of Dr. Kissinger as he traveled to many of the states in the Middle East after the Yom Kippur War, they coined the expression shuttle diplomacy, and they acted as if this was a different brand of diplomacy. This is not true. The fact of the matter is, at that time in the Middle East, no Arab state had recognized Israel, and it was not possible to assemble all the parties in the room. It was not accepted to many Arab states. Even the conference at Kilometer 101, which I helped manage as a representative of the Secretary General, was the scene of a dramatic event when Egyptians and Israeli military officers shook hands. The entire Arab world saw it as what they called a tent of disgrace. So that was why Kissinger had to shuttle. Secondly, there has been some arguments that step-by-step diplomacy was created by Dr. Kissinger. And there is now a feeling in recent discussion that perhaps step-by-step is the preferable way to conduct diplomacy. It is not. I happen to have worked with a very knowledgeable and patient man, Ambassador Gunnarjärvinen, who was appointed by the Secretary General as the representative of the United Nations to pursue and promote peace among Israel and Arabs in accordance with Security Council Resolution 242, which is the basic resolution for peace in the Middle East. He taught me very early, and I agreed fully, that in such difficult issues as the Middle East, it's better to have a comprehensive approach where the parties involved could see where they could make concessions and what they can do to have peace. But that framework of a comprehensive solution must be agreed to by the parties, even though the implementation could be by stages. That example was followed at Kilometer 101 when we worked out a plan to normalize the relationship between Egypt and Israel. The entire plan was worked out at Kilometer 101, and all parties knew what the end will be. So they signed on to it, even though it took Israel 4 years to withdraw completely from the Sinai Peninsula. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. Tell me you love. It's Sunday on Nylon Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent.
Tell me what worth it, all the heartache you're bringing down.
I was excited the first time we met. I was so into you that I ain't even slept. Brought out the poet inside of me, writing love letters. I picked up the paper and pen, playing pretend. Read to a mirror, if I didn't like it, I'd rip in a man. Hoping you love me. If your feelings ain't deep enough, maybe you leave as a friend. Give it some time, I get on my knees in the end. You are the breeze of my wind. I know you're hurt and you're scarred, and I'm trying to protect you away from the evil of men. Am I selfish for trying to just keep it within? Cause you're a free spirit and really don't need to be hinged. You were my voice when I needed to speak. Just look at the places we've been and the people we reached. The trap and the money we made in a week. Cause sometimes I cannot believe it. You came in my life, a blessing from God. I made you a part of my squad. Then I made you a vow that I keep it real and I promise it's not a facade. But somehow along in the journey you flipped your demeanor for diamonds and cars. You taught me a lot, everything that I know from the drip to the rhyming and bars. Gotta deal with the jealousy. That neighbor that envy me. And when we succeed, we're chilling, we light a cigar. You took me places that I used to dream about. I'm stomping and rocking Adidas now. You gave me dollars and cents if I gave you attention and did it 100%. Life for the party, I'm rocking events. I'm in or out, I'm not on the fence. They all on the bench, I'm making the moves. I'm making the moves. We make a team that's amazing, it's true. Cliche like the paper to glue. And sometimes I feel like I've seen it before. Am I stuck on a deja vu? And why do you feel insecurities when I'm trying to keep it just you and me? And the first time I met you, because of that day I can never forget you. You got my attention and I had to listen, standing in my mama's kitchen. You said I'd be highly successful. You told me don't worry, cause I will connect you. I stood there frozen, astounded, in love with the sound of your voice. I thought my mama was playing cassette. It was Grandmaster Flash on a radio deck. The rhymes, the rhythm that made us connect. The move on my heart would've gave you a peck. I ain't even know if you loved me back. And the thought in the song was a pain in the neck. Turns out you an independent girl that wanna travel alone and take over the world. Found your name on a lot of people's lips, but of course, cause you got your own way with words. From New York to London to LA, China, Japan, where you chill with the senseis. Number one worldwide, every day I hear about you on the airwaves. From the streets to the club to the pole dance, taking money from all hands. Next I heard you was preaching the gospel, girl, your faith had me reach for my Bible. You don't change for nobody, I heard that the season adapt. Try to get your weight up, so your bees in a trap. Some people said you were straight out of Compton. Some people said you were born out of Africa. But you traveled and made it to New York, where you got a new bounce and a new walk. Peeps giving you dap, you're the new force. You're the new force. I'd have made a living off your energy. Then it picked me to be the new boss. She said, oh, I see. Officer in charge when I show ID. Guerrilla tactics when I came up. Took a lot of physical work to get your name up. Girl, I told you I'm yours. This is hard to endure when you're looking to exit and you stand at the door.
Oh,
keeping it real is finally telling that special someone.
You are my love and my sweetie. You know I love you so much, so sweetie. You are my heart, heart beating. You are my love and my sweetie. You know I love you so much, so sweetie. You are my heart, heart beating. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So polish me up, but baby don't dust me off, cause I got my own pain and that always make me tough. Like mommy holding me tightly, nightly. You like a diamond in the rough, babe. I'm on my grind, so don't console me. I got my fella looking up, babe. Cause baby, one of the things that I hold my mental, I know, but I don't see. Meaning one hour can be. I mean, at least say, I mean that I'm on my way. So nimetakata, I am what you after. But before we take it there, I want some smiling and laughter. Enough with the chatter, cause we stay low-key. And if you think you knew what you know as before, it's on me. Tongue twisting at your waist, make you pause the beat. Now weka shida zangu chini. Kiku kubali, unazama mahabani. Bila kugusa mina shikaro na upendo. Unavyo tetembea taratibu na mwendo. Unanikosha mami uzuri wa macho. Unavyo tabasamu na hicho kicheko. Mina ishi wanahamu na bakina special. Play that guitar for me. You be my harmony. Hey, wanikosha mahabani. Pende nizame mapenzi ni. Hey, play that guitar for me, girl. You be my harmony. Hey, wanikosha mahabani. Yeah, yeah.
You are my love and my sweetie. You know I love you so much, so sweetie. You are my heart and heartbeat. You are my love and my sweetie. You know I love you so much, so sweetie.
And that was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here at the English to Africa service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we're on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. And from the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peters, assisted by Jordan and engineer Kayla Williams, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, he who throws a stone in the marketplace will hit his relative. I'm your host, Peter Clote in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
A new world.
I give you more cause